Welcome off to Little Hills. This is the second part of our sermon from Sunday. And today I'm going to talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this is a time that in between the two chapters, you'll see there, if you really, really read into it really and dig in, you'll see there's a transition here. And the transition comes from not living under the law, per se, as they were going to the temple and having a priest, but yet when Jesus Christ died on the cross, we know that he paid for our sins. And because of that, he is our priest. He is the one that we go to, and he gives us the Holy Spirit. And this is how the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us whenever we do accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I like to read portions of Luke, the second chapter, and 1-9. And it goes like this. Let's open up our Bibles. It says, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly they came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house. And they were filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared on them and rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under the heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, 'Are not all these who are speaking Galatians? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language?'" And as we go along, you got to say all the different people that come were coming around. And as we go down, I think in verse 12, it says, "And we were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking and saying, 'They were filled with new wine.'" As Pastor Tim said earlier, you know, I haven't seen people get drunk, speak different languages or anything like that. I thought that was pretty good from his sermon Sunday night. "Joel foretold, 'We are no longer living under the law of Moses,' as I said earlier, but in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit from our Father in heaven." Here we have the question of Jack's position, which is J-U-X-T-A-P-O-S-I-T-O-N. It's an interesting word that I just learned, and I say it. Juxtaposition of the giving of the law of Moses to the giving of the Spirit of Jesus arise. When God gave Moses the law to live, you know, for the people, the Israelites, to live, his chosen people, they had to live under this law, and they had the priest. Now, the law shows us how much we need Christ. But knowing that we cannot live under the law, but we live under we rest in the bloodshed blood of Jesus Christ. Also, the prophet Joel foretold God's pouring out of the Spirit on all flesh, including both genders and all ages. This is could be found in Joel 2:28-31. All four Gospels of the Bible, as we just got finishing up with this series, all four Gospels of the Bible record John the Baptist's prediction that the Messiah would baptize the church with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus recalls his prophecy in Acts 1:5 and fulfills it in Acts 2. So as we're baptized, we are filled with the Holy Spirit then. It's not something that comes later on, but we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit works in us. And then eventually, as we let the Holy Spirit work in us, we're able to spread the gospel to others. This is what catches my attention in verse 8. The power of the Holy Spirit doesn't need our help in interpreting. What I mean by that is, a lot of times, as you see, God doesn't need us. We just need to be that vessel so he can work through us. And when we are able to have Christ work through us, then he is able to do his work. And this is within, and verse 8 says, "And how is it that we all hear each of us in his own native language?" These people came from all over the region. They're just in Jerusalem, and they spoke different languages. It's just like everybody come from all the world came to Little Hills. Everybody only, some people might have spoke English. Well, there's us English people speaking. Some people may only understand Spanish. Some people may only understand Italian. Some people may only speak in German. But for some reason, if we start speaking in our native language, they heard it in theirs. There's nobody up there. Whoops, sorry. I like my stick. You know, you got to have it. It's my staff. So so where was that? So they were all speaking. And so when you hear this in someone else's language, it wasn't someone up there interpreting like a person that's signing, or they had a pause for a bit and one person spoke this language, the other person spoke that language. It was all at the same time. And to me, that is the power of the Holy Spirit working. And how else can we celebrate and be excited about the power of the Holy Spirit? Who is this God? They were asking. And what a great way to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times we wonder, oh no, how are we going to do this? What are we going to do? How are we going to spread the gospel? But actually, what I've been preaching and teaching about, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with God's word. And it's easier to spread the gospel that way, because then we can hear the Spirit, and then the Spirit will talk to us. So when we let the Spirit of the Lord in our lives and show others by living a life that speaks the love of Christ, the Holy Spirit does the work. We are just that vessel that God uses for his glory, not ours. It's as Peter preaches, Jesus and the hearers hear the word of Jesus. They either say you're drunk, stoned, or you've done lost your mind. Well, I can't believe what you're doing. This is Satan at work in the disbelief. But many will hear and call the Spirit and repent from the ways and follow Jesus. Peter urges them to repent and be baptized. You know, it's the world's not going to like us when we have filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's fine. That's we're not here to have the world like us. We're here to preach the gospel to Jesus Christ. And, you know, it wasn't the only time that the Spirit came. We can find two other places in the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit empowers people to do his work. We can find this in Numbers 11, 16 through 30, and Joel 2:28 through 32, which I just mentioned earlier in Joel. Moses' workload was getting heavy, and God had Moses gather 70 elders of Israel. And as soon as the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. They helped Moses out. But they didn't continue doing it. They started going and doing their own things, or they just thought, oh, well, I'm good. You know, look at all I'm doing. And the Spirit left them. Except for two men, Eldad and Medad. Yeah, I thought these two names were interesting. It's Eldad and Medad. Eldad and Meldad. Just interesting, you know, just little things to look at. It's like, huh. Well, I guess they were related or of the same family. Like Moses, these elders had authority from God. Later the prophet Joel references a similar event in Joel 2:28. Here Joel predicts that God will pour out his Spirit in the later days. And here we have it happening at the day of Pentecost. The Pentecost fulfilled Joel's prediction of blessings, because the ascended Christ poured out the Holy Spirit on the growing New Testament church. And that's why we come to church, so we can, you know, we don't always have to go to church to get the Holy Spirit. That's why we have quiet times. That's why we have times where we put away and we just listen to the Holy Spirit talk to us by reading the scriptures. And the more that we open our minds and our hearts to Christ this new year as it begins, the more that we can walk with Christ, the more we can be that witness and people can hear Christ. Yes, the world's not going to like you. That's sin. You know, a lot of times, you know, I worry, like, why don't I get invited to a lot of places? Or why don't I get it going here? But I didn't realize, you know, they realize that I don't agree with some of that lifestyle. So, you know, that's good. But they don't hate me. They just hate Christ in me. I cannot leave without thinking about the dynamics of the Pentecost, where wind, fire, and praise. Just take for a moment and imagine that the Lord told us to wait here for me as the disciples did in the upper room. Suddenly a wind came in the doors and the windows, but they were all closed. It began to stir up the room gently so it wouldn't startle anybody, and eventually grows stronger and stronger and starts to rumble with thunder. And we look up to the heavens worshiping God, and he touches us with the Holy Spirit. We begin to blow away all of our fears, doubts, and struggles. You begin to tell others about the love of Jesus. You are brought back to life from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. A lot of times we struggle through things. We have a lot of doubts. Oh, I can't talk about God. I don't have the right words. You know, look at me. I bet you can speak words better than I can. You know, we all have issues, but when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, he speaks through us. Just like any preacher, teacher, you know, a lot of times it's God that does it. You know, hey, that was a good message. That was something good you said. Well, it just popped in my head. You know, it's nothing that I did, but it was Christ who did it in me. Just like the peaceful, calm scene that we have here. You know, the living at peace and just sit and be still and listen for the Holy Spirit. Maybe that'd be a good challenge this year to do. And I know later on we're going to go through some more of the Sermon of the Mount. And these are very good ways of living. Jesus gives us a very good example, and we're here to help each other. So, yeah, and just give me some challenges. It's the beginning of the year. So as we look back at John 3, 7 through 8, it says, "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So you can't really predict who's going to get saved, who's going to accept Christ. But just always be willing to let the Spirit come upon you. And you think you have to mention something small? Mention something small. You know, or if it's just your life, or you want to do something that's honoring Christ, let the Spirit talk to you and do that. In light of the Bible's whole story, Jesus sending us the Spirit applies three things, and which extends to his saving work. If you notice this, I got three words in here publicly. There's nothing here that says go up privately and do stuff. At the Pentecost, the mediator publicly proclaims the new covenant, which death ratified. We're no longer dead in our sins. The risen Lord publicly inaugurates the new creation, granting life to believers. We are new creations in Christ. You know, we got life. I have life after death. You know, I got family members are dying, and our, you know, friends are dying, but there's life after this. This is not it. We could live eternally with Christ in heaven just by accepting it, by being public about it also. Christ publicly bestows the Spirit upon the new community, founding the New Testament church. Be public about it. Let others know about the love of Jesus Christ. Let others know that they can live in hope. They can live in hope of eternal life with Christ. Yeah, things are worse. Yes, things are going to get you upset. Things are going to get you, pull you down. But, you know, we always have Christ. Because Jesus pulled out the Spirit, we receive the benefits of his death and the resurrection of the new birth. The Spirit unites us with Christ and his church. So this new year, with the help of the Holy Spirit, how are you going to spread the good news? May I encourage you this as we remember how the three wise men came and they were encouraged because of the new king and gave them these free gifts. Jesus Christ is going to offer you a free gift. This is a gift of salvation. All you have to do is believe, repent, and be baptized. If you have any more questions about this, just call Pastor Tim or me, or email us, and we'd love to show you the love of Christ. How you can start a new life doesn't mean everything's going to go smooth or fine. Yes, there's going to be a lot of friends who are going to separate from you because of your walk with Christ, but yet you are doing it because of the love for what Christ has done for you. because you don't want to pay for that penalty of your sins. Yes, it's not a church growth thing to say, hey, you're sinful and you're going to die going to hell. But yet, because of Jesus Christ, because of the Holy Spirit, we can walk with Him. And thank you, guys, and God bless.